This conference will now be recorded.
Welcome, everyone, to Single Mom Talk Radio on webtalkradio.net. I'm Julia Espy, your host. I'm a former NASA researcher, a one-time single mom, raising my son Jackson solo for about 7 years, and author of the award-winning book, If I Were Your Daddy, This Is What You'd Learn. At Single Mom Talk Radio, you're no longer parenting alone. You get the stories, the struggles, the triumphs of other single mothers, and you'll get a team of parenting, health, and financial experts to make your job a whole lot easier. On this show, we'll be bringing you one of those experts as we discuss a topic that's really at the very heart. In fact, it is the heartbeat of your family's financial health. If you've ever gone through a divorce, you'll want to pay attention. If you've had any hiccups in your financial world as of late, you'll want to pay attention because today's guest can literally save you thousands. Let's make that hundreds of thousands of dollars if you follow his advice. We'll be talking about credit, how it works, how to keep it strong, and the important issue is how to restore it if you've had some kind of financial challenge in the last 7 years. But before we meet our guests, I have a gift for you today from my book, If I Were Your Daddy, This Is What You Learn. As you know, as single moms, there are many days where we have to be both mother and father, and I was faced with that. So what I did is I began researching great fathers, finding out what they did and what they gave their kids, because I didn't want, as a single mom, to give my son half of everything he needed to be successful. So I started finding out what great dads do. A few of the chapters in the book talk specifically about money and finances. How do we teach our kids to be smart financially? And which is the subject of today's show. And so I've got a gift for you today. You can download one of the chapters from multimillionaire and self-made businessman Tim Johnson. He's out of Canada. Phenomenal man, phenomenal father. He describes exactly how he's taught his kids to be financially self-sufficient and responsible with money. And the hint is it starts early. So you can get this chapter free as my gift to you by going to my website, www.ifiwereyourdaddy.com, or look for the picture of the book and click on it on the Web Talk Radio website. So let's go back to our show and our great guest who's standing by. In a little bit of research about credit, I found out that if you skip even one payment of anything, it could knock as much as 100 points off your credit. If you've been through a divorce, watch out. If you've still tied to your ex on any credit card, yes, you're at risk. Don't even think about foreclosure or bankruptcy. But today's guest has a way to get these kind of negative marks off your records. And in fact, I did a little bit more research. You know, it's what I do. I love to research. And I found an article by MSN Money who compared two friends, Emily and Karen, who borrowed the same amount of money, did the same amount of things. The difference is Emily had a FICO score of 750, which is considered good to excellent. Karen has one of 650, which is considered fair to poor. And the difference over a lifetime, a whopping $201,000. I mean, listen up, ladies, because that $201,000, if they had been invested wisely, could have made someone a millionaire by the time they retired. So without any further delay, I want to introduce to you today's guest, Joe McGlynn, who's the president and founder of United Credit Consultations. He's a credit restoration expert, a certified FICO professional. He's licensed by several different financial institutes all over the country, including the Minnesota Department of Commerce. Joe works with clients all over the country and is the co-host of an ESPN and Fox News radio show in Minneapolis. And I'm bringing him to you today because I have personal experience with him. He was recommended to me by my attorney group, who I really trust. I've worked with him personally. I used to put my head in the sand considering these things, and I realized how stupid that was. What he does will save me and can save anyone listening thousands and thousands of dollars. So welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about Karen, the one I introduced, who had the FICO score of 650. Because some of those listening, you know, could have had some dings from a divorce or just if anything's gone wrong in the last 7 years, it shows up on your record. What would you advise her to do?
Well, I want to advise everyone right away, too, that 650 isn't a poor score. You know, this was coming from FICO. Just know, I mean, today in the market, FHA is 640. So you could be approved for a mortgage today at a 640 credit score. So don't be too nervous if you're listening and thinking, oh, my God, I'm at a 630. I must be horrible. No, that's, you know, that's not the case. But when it comes to having poorer credit or score where there is room for improvement, there's many ways of working it out. I mean, when it comes to cleaning it up, or maybe it's not so much you don't have a lot there. It could be just the rebuilding process. Maybe you're just lacking credit in general.
Well, that's good to know that that 650, because it haven't credit scores gone down a lot as of late?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the average America, they say 30% roughly of America has a credit score below 620. So, I mean, one out of every three people technically has a credit score below 620. So just know if you do have a 640 or 650, it's not the end of the world as well. There is people out there that, you know, I've worked with people that are at 350, 380, 400. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at. It's about understanding that, hey, there's some work to do and let's get started.
So then what is the cost? Would you agree with MSN Money that the difference between a fair or even, you know, a fair score of 650 and below and a 750 is a lot of money over your lifetime? Do you agree with that?
Oh, correct. Oh, 100%. I mean, that's everything. Your credit report and your credit score is nothing more than a risk indicator. It's a risk factor. Banks use them. Banks use the reports and the scores to indicate if you're going to be paying them back or not in the life of the loan that you're about to receive. So obviously, the lesser your score, the lower your credit score, the banks look at you as a higher risk scenario, possibility. So at the end of the day, they really look at it like this. The lower your credit score, it's not that if you're going to become late, it's when are you going to become late. That's what they look at it. So they say, you know what, we're going to have a higher interest for this person because we're going to try to collect as much money as we can before they become late. That's really what they're trying to be proactive. Banks are looking to be proactive. They're trying to read into the future.
So that's the difference between a 6% and a 19%.
You look at a $20,000 vehicle and you get a roughly 18-19% interest on a vehicle. So you're talking like a 600 credit score, maybe, you know, 550. That's what you're going to get is around 18-19%. Obviously, a lot depends. Don't quote me on it. But if you're sitting at, like you said, a 6% or 5% on a $20,000 vehicle, you're looking at $200 a month on average of savings for a five-year loan. So
that's huge.
That's huge. I mean, you're talking $200 a month times 12. You're looking at $2,400 a year that you're not literally just taking out of your pocket and giving it to the bank because of what your credit score was a year ago.
Absolutely. And then I've read, too, that it could actually affect you getting an apartment, getting a job, having a lower score. Is that right?
Correct. I continue to work with people that are in the military. And people that are, like you said, that are just trying to get a standard job because they want to know are these people, you know, they look at it like the lesser your credit score, the more of a liability, not only is it when it coming to getting a loan, but your life. You know, are you not paying your bills because you're lazy? They think maybe if that's the case, you're not going to go to work on time. You're going to be running late. They feel like that's why, I mean, car insurance premiums, the lower your credit score, the higher your car insurance premium. Because they're thinking that if your credit score is reflected on your life choices, maybe if you have a higher credit score, that means you're working because you're paying your bills. And if you're working, you're not driving your car around all over the place every day because it's sitting at a parking lot because you're working a lot. You know, everything comes back to those three little numbers for each credit score.
Okay, so let's talk about how these credit scores get calculated, because I heard that your online credit score that you can get from a lot of different services are really not what the banks see. Is that right?
Well, it all depends. I mean, every situation is a little different. When you go to get an auto loan, they do an auto beacon, which is a little different than a mortgage, because you're trying to get a different loan for different things. For instance, if you have a 600 credit score, and you've defaulted on some credit cards in the past, but you've owned three vehicles in the past, you've never missed a payment, you paid them off, most dealerships, most banks are going to give you not an awesome, absolute slam dunk credit, but none of them are going to put their nose up to you, really, because they look at, well, I don't really care what you did with a credit card. You're trying to get an auto loan. How have you done with an auto loan? you know, that sort of thing. Just like,
well, so how does someone get their credit score then? How do they know where they are?
Well, there's multiple ways of doing it. You can go online, you go to myfreecreditreport.com, you go to myannualcreditreport.com. There's a lot of different ways of checking. You could pay one of those monitoring systems. You've seen the commercials, $15 a month to check it, to monitor, to see if people are putting inaccurate things on there, or maybe, you know, someone has your information, you don't even know, opening up credit cards, you don't know. So it is, at the end of the day, your, as in the consumer, responsibility to clean up and to watch and monitor your personal credit report. No one else is doing it for you. So there's multiple ways of doing it. You go online, you type in credit report or how do I get my credit report in Google. I mean, it's simple search. There's going to be hundreds of pop-ups and ways to access your report. So for someone to ever to say, I don't know how to do it, it's crazy to think that, you know, there's multiple ways of doing it. Even if you went and got a credit card, and you've ever gotten denied, and most people at one time in their life have been denied, well, they're going to send you paperwork showing you why you got denied. And not only that, if you look lower on the paperwork, most people probably don't because they get frustrated and they probably throw it away. But it says, if you want a copy of your credit report, please call this number or please write us to this. You'll go to this website. I mean, there's multiple ways of retrieving your report and being able to monitor it yourself.
Okay, so let's say our listeners go to myfreecreditcard.com or myannualcreditcard.com and they get the score. Is that the score that a bank would get when they're going to give you
a
mortgage?
And that would be my free credit reports, not card. So
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So
got
just,
that everyone.
That's where you want to go. But yeah, and you know, it is. It's a little different. Like I said, the credit bureaus and the reports and the systems are, you know, just know the bureaus are independently owned and operated. And the reason I bring that up, I think it's important because you got to know that there is no quote-unquote law to it. They're their own entity. They can do whatever they want. They could have their own system, and that's the whole point, is the banks use the bureaus because it's convenient. They do it because, hey, that's, before I borrow you this money, what is their credit score? So each situation, every bank has a little bit different way of doing things because it's their own money. They can do whatever they want. But overall, big hindsight, like you asked, are the credit scores online the same as if you went and tried to buy a house or a car? No. About 99% of the time, they're different because online, those are your Vantage, V-A-N, Vantage scores, where if you go and try to buy a house today or a car or you get a credit card, those are going to be your FICO scores, F-I-C-O. Okay. Unfortunately, you can't go and check your FICO credit score at any time. The only way you can ever retrieve your FICO score is when you're applying for something, because that's the only time they give it out, is when you're trying to obtain something, a car, a mortgage, a credit card, things like that.
So is
but
that,
at the end of the day,
how's that fair? I mean, you know, so the FICO score is the score that really tells you what you are, right? That's the one you need. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, the thing is, the monitoring systems are very important because at the end of the day, you're not really monitoring your score. You're monitoring your report. So at the end of the day, it is. It's you're right. It is a little misleading. But you got to realize too, your report is your report. Your accounts on your report are going to be the same. So if you see an account that is on your monitoring system that you've never opened, it's a K Jewelers card or something, you know, and you're like, well, I don't have that, and I don't live in Washington. Well, obviously those are some serious red flags that should be throwing up in your head. It doesn't matter if it's your FICO or your Vantage score. Those accounts are on your report. You should go after, see if what's going on, if someone has your information.
Okay, so that's
right.
Great information. So Joe, let's go into, let's say someone pulls this at myfreecreditreport.com. They pull it, mm-hmm. and they see something that's not accurate, or they see something. I mean, can someone challenge something that's accurate, but they don't want it on the report, say like a bankruptcy or a foreclosure? Can you ever get these things off of your record?
You can. Yes, you can. And this is the thing. It's a touchy subject. It's a fine line. And you got to watch the verbiage. You got to watch the way you're doing it and saying it, because it is. It's people look at, well, I've had that account. Again, it's not about what's right and wrong. It's about understanding what your rights are as a consumer in America. I mean, the words are, in the federal government, it is your right as a consumer to dispute anything that is on your credit report that is it's either inaccurate or unverifiable. It's the second word there that's key. It's unverifiable. So it's not about if you ever had it or not. It's not about saying, I had a bankruptcy, Joe, or I had a foreclosure. It's about knowing that it's your right to challenge it and make these companies prove the validity of it. Make them go and prove that the account is valid and verifiable and it's current, it's true in its form of right now. Because if these companies then don't answer, or they can't verify it, or they don't have the file, or they misplaced the file, they didn't file it correctly, any of these reasons, the item then by law has to be deleted from your credit report, has to be by law.
Okay, so I'm hearing something really key here is mm-hmm. that the credit card or the mortgage or the whoever has to verify that that record is right. And is that the way that you can go in and get things cleaned up on your account?
Correct. Yeah, the problem is that people go and do it the incorrect way. They go and start writing letters or they call the creditors, which is incorrect. So if you have a foreclosure or a collection even, if you guys, before you go and start paying collections, know that paying collections actually drops and hurts your credit score. So again, it's about knowing what are the right steps to take and how to take those steps. So when we challenge these items, you go after those accounts. You don't want to write to the creditors. That does not fix your credit report. What you want to do is go to the actual credit bureaus, the three major bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, because those are your rights. You send dispute letters, correct ones, written ones that are right in the way you're challenging it correct. Because what happens is the bureaus can only give the companies that you're challenging 30 days to verify the information that you challenged. So again, it's not 2 months, it's not 6 months, it's not we'll get to it when we want. No, the bureaus, if they want to have that item standard report, or if that creditor wants that item standard report, they have to verify the information in 30 days. So on day 30, like I said, if these companies don't have the information, or maybe you dispute an unpaid collection and it's a few years old, chances are that company does not own the debt as of today. Therefore, the item can't be verified. It's inaccurate because they don't own the file and the item is deleted from your credit report.
Okay, so this is huge, Joe. So what I'm hearing is that these are the right steps and this is what most people do wrong. And I have to put my hand up here because I did this. I got a credit report. I had a little monitoring thing. I saw something and I wanted to have it disputed. And I went to the credit card company and, you know, I really got nowhere. I mean, they sure. said they would take it off my record and they didn't. And I think it dragged me down. I probably would have gotten a better mortgage payment, you know, out of it. So you're saying the right steps are to not go to the credit card company or the home mortgage company. It's to go to the bureaus, the three bureaus. Is that right?
Well, the first step technically is if there is something that is a general incorrect situation. For instance, you have a mortgage, you paid your mortgage on time, never had issues, Chase messed up. Yeah, you always want to get some backup. You know, some documentation from Chase is always nice. But most of the time, yeah, it's go after everything. Because if you're going after some late payments or collections or unpaid collections, it's make these companies prove it. You know, just know this. The credit bureaus, and if everyone that's listening, think about this. There's ever been a time when you've ever missed a payment or you've had a bankruptcy or foreclosure or you even have a collection. Before these companies put these accounts on your report, did you ever get a phone call from TransUnion or Experian or Equifax? Did anyone ever call you and say, hey, Chase is about to put a late payment on your report or a credit card company is about to put it? No, they never do because they never have, never will. The bureaus absorb everything that gets told to them more or less regardless if it's right or wrong. They put it on your report. Okay, so just think about that. So the bureaus are adding everything on your report, and guess what? It is your job because of the federal government to clean up your credit report. So if you're not doing anything that's proactive and you're not cleaning up your report yourself or monitoring like we talked about earlier, nothing is changing. Nothing is being disputed on your behalf on your report. So things are just being added up throughout time. And nothing's getting cleaned up because you're not being proactive on that.
And to be proactive, what I'm hearing you saying is that even if a late payment is right, if you want it cleaned up on your record, you go to the bureaus and say, verify it.
Exactly. And it's not saying, you're not being cheaty. You're not cheating. You're not being scandalous. You're not being shady. You're saying, you know what, if you're going to put this stuff on my report without questioning it, prove to me that this stuff is accurate and it's verifiable. I mean, that is your right as a consumer in America. So if you have anything on your report, it's challengeable. It's disputable based just because of the basic knowing that it's your right. You can do so. So there's nothing that's on your report that's behind like a velvet robe, but you can't touch it. From judgments to bankruptcy to tax liens, we've gotten those things removed. We've gotten those things deleted off people's reports because we go after it. We challenge it. We make these companies do the work. You know, if you're going to put it on my report, prove it. And if they don't have the file or they don't have the information correct anymore, it's not about what's right and wrong. It's about knowing that they didn't prove it. It's your right from the federal government, and the item has to be, by law, deleted from your credit report.
You know, and I guess that's why there was a video on MSN Money that says you can do it all by yourself. And is that right, Joe? You can do
100%.
It all by yourself.
I mean,
yeah.
You can, for sure. I mean, that's with what I do, it's a service just like anything else. We just like from getting your hair cut to hiring an attorney to represent you in court, you could do all those things yourself, but there's a lot of steps. There's a lot of things you could do, again, wrong, thinking you know what you're doing, or maybe you write the letter incorrect or you mail it to the wrong place. That's what we're here for. We take the convenience. We put it all together for you. We do it for you. We have a really nice, easy software system through our website where you're able to track the status. So you can do this yourself 100%. Just know you got to put some time into it. You got to do some training. You got to read the right books. You got to go to the right stuff. You got to know what you're doing, because it's just like I said, cutting your own hair or having an attorney represent yourself. That's their job. That's what they specialize in. They're going to get the best results for you. Mostly quickest and, to be honest, cheapest for you. Okay.
Well,
that's why
you
hire
I know for me as a single mom, you know, when I was a single mom, I didn't really pay much attention to it, and it really cost me a lot. And now looking back, it was really a mistake because I didn't really have the time to go and learn all this. And So that's obviously why I went to you and decided to hire you. But if someone's listening, because I wanted it just done, just do it. It's going to save me thousands of dollars. Just do it. Your fee's like nothing compared to how much money I'll save. But if someone's listening today and they want to go and do it themselves, they've got the time to, what are some tips you can give them?
Well, the first thing you want to do is obviously pull credit. You know, don't look at all the paperwork that you're getting in the mail. All right. And I know that sounds confusing, but just know about 50% of all collection companies in the nation don't even report to your credit report. So I'm not going to say not to pay your bills, but just know what I always tell people and what I always do is I attack what is on my credit report, because to me, that's what's affecting my, like you talked about in the beginning, interest rates. That's affecting my dollar when it comes to borrowing. What's my power? What's my buying power? What's my loan power? And if you have collections that are getting mailed to you all the time, but that stuff's not in your report, what I would do is I'd really focus and you know, put the blinders on, is focus on your report. So the first step is get your credit report, get it current, see where you're at, what is on there, what's showing up, who do you owe. Then figure out, how do I dispute this? Where do I go? Who do I send the letters to? What do I put down? Again, those are some hard steps, but don't go online. Don't go to Experian.com and just click a button and think that that's actually disputing. It's not. Just know the bureaus are being forced to do this by the federal government. So the last thing they want to do is spend more money, have more overhead of people disputing things for them or spending more of their money. So they want to push you to think, by clicking a little button is going to fix everything, which it does not. That's just them. Their little way of kind of pushing you to the side and thinking that you're happy and you're content, which obviously is not the right step to take. So
you have to send a physical letter.
Oh, yeah. And you got to send it to the right place. And you got to say the right things. You got to dispute the right accounts. I mean, there are in the bureaus, again, they're very particular. If you don't do it exactly the right way, they're going to make an excuse. You're going to make a reason why they couldn't do an investigation. In other words, they found a reason why they don't have to spend their money and waste their time doing this, because they don't make money on this. That's not their job.
So what is it that, tell me just a little bit here, like what is the right way of saying it? Do you say, would you please verify this?
Well, even then, it depends on where you're mailing it. You know, for instance, the bureaus need to see two forms of identification in the letters. I mean, that's a major misconception. Most people in America, when they're writing out a challenge letter, dispute letter, last thing they think of is, I need to verify that I'm actually writing this. Why would I not be writing it? But not everybody is good-hearted as you. There's a lot of people out there that are identity thieves and they steal information. So the bureaus need to see two forms of documentation in the letters, for instance, like an ID, bank statement, voided check, things like that to prove it's you. Well, if you don't put those items in the letter, doesn't matter if you said everything perfect. The bureaus won't do the investigation. They'll send letters back to you saying the stuff's unverifiable. We're not going to do the investigation. Well, a standard American would think then, well, I guess there's nothing I can do. I guess I did it wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to put it off to the side. Well, then you never did it. Bureaus won because they didn't have to spend money, spend their time. So there's a lot of things that you could do misguided or misjudged or, you know, wrongly that's going to affect the whole thing, and you're not going to get any success out of it.
And I know there's lots of addresses. I went online. I looked. There's lots of addresses in the credit bureau. You kind of don't. Which one do you send it to?
You really have to call them. You know, and that's the hard part is who's to say the person on the other end knows what they're talking about. Who's to say the person on the other end isn't making, you know, $7 an hour and they really don't care about you and, you know, where you're mailing them. So it is. It's just a lot of time. You got. It's trial and error. It's not going to be fixed overnight. But we have worked with people that we've gotten their scores up 100 points, 150 points within 30 days, within 60 days before. So it is.
Possible.
It's a confusing. Oh, 100%. I mean, it's happened multiple, hundreds of times, truly. But if you have the time, but the problem is being a single mother, you guys probably know, obviously, better than I, you don't have time. You're always a week behind. That's what it feels like, probably. So, but if
you
do,
that's what it feels like, yeah. That's it. You got that one right.
Yeah, but if you're one of the rare ones out there that you do have time, yeah, you can do this yourself. I'm not going to sit here ever and say this is, you know, strictly for this or this and this, but there are some. Google is not perfect. There's a lot of people on there that put wrong information on it. Trust me. Not everyone
okay.
on there, just like what
so,
they say when your parents don't believe everything you read. That's kind
so
of the
Joe,
game.
So, Joe, I got then, and I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Web Talk Radio on Single Mom Talk Radio, Julie Espy, your host, and we've got talking to president of an incredible credit consultation company named Joseph McGlynn. And, Joe, I'm going to ask you then, you mentioned then, if someone wanted to hire someone, you know, they can go to your website. What is your website?
Our website, our company is United Credit Consultants, and our website is unitedcreditconsultants.com.
Okay, so if they can hire you, and you did a free consultation. Was that normal?
That's for everybody, yep.
Okay, so that was good. I got to know what my credit score was. You pulled it. I got to decide
right.
if I wanted to hire you. You gave me a guarantee, which no one else I had found out did. So tell me, what are the telltale signs? If someone wanted to get a little bit of help to make sure this is done right, how do you tell if a firm is honest, reputable, and they get results?
Well, every state is a little different. Some states are a lot more strict on their credit, you know, service businesses and their licenses. Minnesota, that's where we're stationed out, that's where we're located. It's very strict. We're one of only four in the state right now that's licensed and accredited with the Department of Commerce. Well, let's just say this, there isn't only four credit repair companies in the state. So there's a lot of companies that are flying kind of under the radar. You got to figure out, are they giving you your rights? You got to receive the paperwork from the federal government saying these are your rights as a consumer. They got to give you, in Minnesota at least, I'm not sure about every state, don't quote me, but in Minnesota they got to give the 5 days of rescission, which means the company needs to give the clients 5 days to more or less think about it. If they want to cancel, they can. There's no issues. You know, the main thing for us and what we do is the free consultation. So I'm not pressuring, you don't push anybody into a scenario where, listen, if you come in and we sit down, you owe us X amount of money. If a company's reputable and they're legit, they should have no issues with sitting down for a couple of minutes saying, hey, this is kind of how it works. This is where you're at. At this point, just, you know, you choose if you want to move forward and do it or not. You should never be pressured. So there's a lot of things, but again, like I said, every state's different. Doesn't mean one state's better than the other. Just know wherever you are, I'll look into it, look at, you know, figure out what are the rights, what are the consumer's rights, what are the laws that are protecting you. But there are some, yeah, I mean, if they're charging up front, which is illegal in some states, but some states are legal. So I guess just kind of, it's your moral compass. Are these people legit? Do they have an office? Are they meeting you at a Starbucks? You know, that sort of thing. Is it a one-page contract?
If they'll guarantee a result. And that's one thing,
yeah.
I noticed that you, it was surprising. You was like, look, if I can't get you from X to X plus, you know, you don't pay anything. And I was shocked. Is that very common?
Well, what we do technically is we can't guarantee a result. You can't guarantee a perfect credit score or this and that, but what we have, which is unique, is called a client goal worksheet. So in other words, we write down the client's goals. What are you looking for? What are you trying to obtain? Because the issue is, and what I find a lot of these companies, is because no one talks about what are the goals, what is realistic, it's a huge gray area. Clients come in, they're excited, they're proactive, they feel like, oh my God, Joe, you know, the company here, this and that, they're going to get me to 800. Well, the company then sits there and thinks, 650. Well, that's a 150-point difference. In 6 months or in a year, clients can be unhappy when the company thinks they should be happy. So that's what we do. We have a client goal worksheet. We're going to fill that out. If you feel comfortable putting whatever those goals are down, you sign off on it, I sign off, and then right there, we know exactly black and white what's realistic, what are we looking for, what are we shooting for. And yeah, if we can't reach those goals that we both agreed to prior to doing anything within 6 months, you get your money returned.
Wow. So, you know, that, so listen, anyone listening, you might want to ask your, if you hire someone and you're not hiring Joe, you want to ask them to write down what they promised that they can do, a goal worksheet, and see if they'll back it up with their own money, back it up with their own, you know, fees. If it's, so I love that's what you do here. And, so, you know, one final question. Tell me then, if our children are going out, because we were talking the whole show about how to rebuild your credit. Okay, well, we all have children, and they're going to come out, and they're going to go to college and or go out in the workforce. They need to establish good credit. Tell us real quickly, what do you do to establish, to build, to, you've got someone new, how do you establish good credit from the get-go?
Good trade lines, positive trade lines. Just know, you know, if you're 18, totally different than if you're 38, obviously, because at 38, if you have one credit card and you're 18 with one credit card, obviously being 18, you have no other history. So much of your payments on that credit card are going to be weighed so much more heavily because the bureaus don't really have any fallback. There's nothing there to say, well, at least you've paid a mortgage or you've had a car payments in the past or this and that. So the problem is that kids have the tendency to not care. Oh, I'm not going to buy a house anytime soon. I don't really care. I'm not going to pay my credit card. I'll pay this. Well, just know that's affecting your score so much more than, say, if you're a 38-year-old or 48 or 58. It doesn't matter because you have other credit to back it up. It's almost like you have armor on. So it is. That's the key, is that it's so much harder to rebuild your credit when you're younger because there's nothing to fall back on. The banks have no, they have nothing to say, well, at least you've paid this in the past or this in the past. So obviously, keeping credit open, paying your bills, 35% of your credit score is based on payment history. So even if you're maxed out, don't ever become late. You can always pay down the card payment. You can't, you know, more or less pay it down and then those lates disappear. Those lates are there unless you dispute them. So that's the key, is just always make your payment, even the minimum. That's the most important part.
And so do you want to keep one card or you want to have several cards open with little balance? Would you rather have one big card with a lot of balance or a couple cards with a little bit of balance?
You want to spread it out. You want to have a couple. Don't go really over three, especially if you're younger. Now, if you have a couple more when you're older and you're more established, the bureaus feel a little bit better. They feel, you know, you're a little more, you can handle it. But if you're younger, I'd say anything below 22, I really wouldn't have more than three credit cards. And yeah, you always want to keep, doesn't matter the size of the credit card. If the limit is $300 or $3,000, doesn't matter. Do not use, if you want to improve your score and have a good score, you don't want to have the balance ever above 30% of the limit. So in other words, if you have a $300 credit card, you really never want to go above $100 of the limit. And then also, if you have a $3,000, you don't want to go above, you know, $1,000 at any point, because then you're a risk factor, your risk is higher, therefore your score drops and you're spending more money on interest.
Well, Joe, you have given us some great information on how to rebuild it, things not to do, go to the credit union directly, how to pull a score, how to help our children build good credit. So I want to thank you for being on the show. And good. And I had asked you, if someone wanted to hire you, will you give, you have a promotional code, would you give us a break
Correct.
On anything?
Yes. If you go to my website, which is United Credit Consultants, and that's with an S at the end, consultants.com, you're going to go to a contact us page, just like any other website. But when you do click that, there's going to be a little comments box on the bottom after you put in your information to maybe have me contact you directly or one of my associates here. Right there, you want to put in promo code. You want to put in single mom UCC123. Okay. And that's promotion code single mom, UCC123. Okay. So by doing that, we're going to give you special offers, things like that, that normally people aren't going to receive. But because you're part of the show here and you're listening in, you're getting obviously deals that normally standard run-of-the-mill people aren't going to get from us.
Okay, great. We always like to save money here. And so, look, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem.
And
thank
if you.
You
have questions for Joseph, you can go and go to his website, ask him directly. You can also go to singlemomtalkradio.com and submit a comment. And Joe has agreed to answer your questions. So just make a comment on the show's blog post. And again, this is a show you're going to want to Facebook and tweet to your friends. Click on the Facebook icon, send it around, because unfortunately or fortunately, credit affects every single person, whether you're a single mom or not. So thank you again, Joe. And let me tell you before anyone leaves what we're going to be doing next week. We'll be moving from financial care to family care as we dive into child care. We've all heard the nightmares. I always felt that the only thing I could really screw up with my son was to get him bad child care. There are so many nightmare stories out there. And next week, we'll be talking to an online nanny finding service. She started an online service. It's kind of like dating.com, but for nannies. And she previews and selects the nannies that go on there. She'll tell us how to not only avoid the horror stories, but waste money on just mediocre care. She'll talk about, should we have a nanny cam? What are the questions to ask a nanny when you're interviewing? And we'll find out just exactly how to get the best care for your most precious cargo. Remember, this is Julia Espy for Single Mom Talk Radio. Talk to you next week.